Kai.
Ah, there you are. Hello.
Aloha, 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 mahalo, kia ora, halofa.
Aloha, no hay de qué. Estoy aquí. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. And I've got so many fabulous questions I want to ask you. I have notes and notes and notes. First of all, Kai Roberts-Fu is hat herder in chief for Magnus Media Video Production. Now, I've seen you do a cameo in a dog training video, but how did you end up being a cat herder?
Well, when one is a production manager, that winds up hurting an awful lot of people and media and all kinds of equipment. So there are many moving parts, and they're generally moving in opposite directions. So it's my job to get everything lined up and rolling in the right direction together.
That requires an enormous amount of skill and possibly a lasso. You have over 12 years in video, but you've been managing stage productions and live events since you were 16. And I think you started off with a parade with the neighborhood children.
That is true. Well, I started even before that, but yes, when I was 7, I herded a bunch of the kids out in the blazing sun in July to join me in some of my old dance costumes in a parade. But since then, I have developed to more sophisticated things with actual stages and audiovisual equipment and things. So over the years, it's grown a lot.
You have a prestigious list of clients, and I can't wait to talk about Magnus Media Group Video and all that you offer because you are able to help with conferences, live events, business videos, associations, nonprofits, living legacies, and life events. But before we get to that, speaking of life events, when you were three, you started to learn to tango. Is that right?
No, that is not correct. I started dancing when I was, most 3-year-olds do not tango. First of all, the partners are much too tall. I started tango later than that, significantly later than that. Let's not talk about age. But I began dance classes when I was 3. So the typical inappropriate childhood things such as tap dancing, jazz dancing, and musical theater styles. So I've been able to Charleston since I was 7.
But at 13, you turned your expertise into teaching.
Yes, I began assisting my dance teacher way back when. So at that time, I was teaching smaller children and I began choreographing my own stuff even before that. So choreography turned out to be a very video production related skill because editing is, in its own way, a form of choreography. So although I am no longer even dancing tango, I carry my dance skills into my current profession and passion.
Oh, absolutely. Dancing requires a rhythm and a fluidity and an ability to showcase certain steps and to perform with precision and to bring a story to life. So, of course, they are synchronistic.
Yes.
Mind if I ask you a couple more questions about tango instructing? Because before we get on to your amazing work that you do, Argentine tango, is that a different kind of tango?
Yes. So the tango that you would normally see when you think of Blackpool or any of the international ballroom dance or American ballroom dance, tango is very structured. There are particular steps you must perform in a certain way, and competition is often a very big part of that. Argentine tango, while there are competitions and there are certainly performances, is at its heart an improvisational social dance. I got started first as a follower, but in a few months I began leading as well because often there are more followers in any social dance than there are leaders. So in order to keep a class going, I learned to lead. Turned out to be one of my favorite things to do. So I both lead and follow Argentine tango, and I believe only once in my life have I ever performed a choreography because it is improvisational. So even on a stage in Japan, when lots of other people were doing rehearsed performances, my partner and I did improv. Keeps it fresh. Also, there's nothing to memorize.
You've traveled to so many different countries, and improv also comes up in video, of course, because things are constantly changing. The lighting, what people, scripts and things, you have to be able to be quick on your feet like a cat. But what do you think of Tokyo?
Oh, it's a beautiful city, and I wish I'd seen more of it because I was there as a paid performer. Most of what I saw was the inside of the tour bus and the inside of the recital hall. However, I did get out to see the Emperor's Palace and eat some really phenomenal sushi. So my husband and I would love to go back someday simply as visitors.
It's where my heart is as well. We were supposed to go, but a tiny little virus got in the way, so we didn't.
Yeah, small but mighty. Well, hopefully you'll get to do that again real soon.
I absolutely will. I always believe there's enough time, money, and love, and Japan awaits. Kai, for those of you who haven't met her, has the most glorious red hair. I'm imagining. What colors did you have to wear on stage to go with that glorious mane?
Well, sometimes it was red. We wear a lot of black in tango. It's slimming. But I also really liked the more unusual shades, blues, greens. Those were the main choices. And of course, one always had to match one's shoes if possible.
Of course. And they are very special shoes, a friend told me, to allow you to twist and turn.
Yes, leather soles for smooth and unexpected pivoting, and stiletto heels so that you don't have to just stay on your toes the whole time.
Now, there's some
you're words. Still 4 inches up, though. Pardon?
Four inches. Good grief.
Yes.
I'm just saying that tango shoes really do sum up COVID, unexpected pivoting.
And you, too, are quick on your feet. Nice.
I noticed you also wear black in a professional capacity. I've noticed a lot of, for example, like stagehands, when they're on stage moving props, wear black to blend in. Is that part of the reason that you wear black when you're working with your clients?
It's just sort of the traditional dress of an AV person. However, as we do more, so if you're working an event, people can identify you as the professional, and therefore they usually don't stop and look at your name badge too hard when you're carrying a camera and running about. You're just identified in people's minds immediately as a professional in a situation. One of the fun things about working for some of the smaller businesses and local groups is I do not have to continue on with the black from head to toe unless I just feel like it. So if I'm doing a photo shoot, I might wear black because, as we mentioned a moment ago, it's slimming. But at least on the smaller businesses, I can have a little, or with the smaller businesses, I can have a little self-expression in my fashion, which is something I've missed during the quarantine. Although I have worn out most of my sweatshirts, my sad wardrobe just sits there waiting patiently for me to do something with it.
My shoes gathered dust and my winter coats were just, they just didn't see the light of day.
No, there was no point. So this year, actually this evening, is the first time I am going out for something that is not work. So I'm going to the open house of a friend and colleague. And I suddenly realized at about 5 o'clock last night that I could dress up. I didn't have to carry equipment. I didn't have to worry. Oh, another reason we wear black is because if you've got equipment and you're carrying things or they've been sitting on the ground, it might get dirty. So black, of course, doesn't show that. But tonight I am wearing tropical colors and lace-up pastel combat boots because that's how we roll these days.
Combat boots go with it.
They do.
Tropical. Am I right that you also have a fondness for Hawaii like I do?
Yes, I do have fondness for Hawaii. My husband is from Hawaii. He is Chinese Hawaiian, and his family goes back 4 generations on the island. We met there in a tango class, so to tie all that together. And fortunately, much of his family still lives there. So while we live in Seattle, we travel back to Hawaii a couple of times a year. And while lovely days that are not too hot or too cold to wear sundresses and other Hawaiian-style clothes in Seattle, maybe few and far between, I have basically a Hawaii wardrobe that I keep around for those trips.
I have a giant picture of Hawaii on my closet door. So I'm staring straight as it as I talk to you in my home office.
Oh, how nice. Well, the question I always get asked is, what island are you from? So what island is your poster?
Ah! You see, I would not do well on Jeopardy because I cannot answer that.
That's all right. Is it pretty?
Oh, it's glorious.
White. That's all that matters. I'm originally from the Midwest, so when I remember I'm of a certain age, so I remember like the old crayon colors, sea green. Like there's no way a sea is that shade of green. And then I went to Kailua, which is on the windward side of Hawaii, and I saw that color live and in person. It was not photoshopped. It's a real color. So yes, the white sand beaches and those glorious shades of blue and aqua and seafoam green.
I think Four Seasons are overrated, which I say over and over, and I must stop saying that. But I need to live in Hawaii all year round. Besides, it's halfway. It's halfway home to New Zealand.
Yes.
Hi, can I ask? Your name is gorgeous, and it's spelt in a way to me that's Polynesian, K-AI. Is that a chosen name, or were you born with that?
It is a chosen name. It is the structure of it, the K-AI is from science fiction. So big science fiction fan, science fiction fantasy, the Dragon Riders of Pern, that is where the apostrophe comes from because all of the Dragon Riders' names had apostrophes in them.
That's unbelievably awesome. I went straight to Hawaii. But why? This is a woman who on her Facebook page says, I don't believe in the no-win scenario. And it's a quote from Captain Kirk from The Wrath of Khan.
Yes.
I believe you and your husband are both huge Star Trek fans, but tell me, is it only the original?
Good question. He is a huge fan of the original, and we like all of the, well, he likes all of the others. I, in the, what he likes to call the Golden Age, so up through Star Trek Enterprise. I'm a big fan of Deep Space Nine. I love the powerful female characters in that. Our first female second officer, or first officer, excuse me. And we're big Stargate fans as well. So sciencey science fiction stuff we love.
I was reading Robert Heinlein in bed last night. I don't know if you're familiar at all with
his work. Yes. I grew up with novels because we only had three television stations when I was growing up. So I spent a lot of time reading Heinlein, Asimov, Jerry Purnell. Those are some of the things that entertained me as a child. Arthur C. Clarke. I'm still waiting for us to build an elevator to the moon based on single strand carbon chains. And now your audience is going, where are they going with this? But yes, I like science fiction. Which Heinlein are you reading?
And I love Elevators to Anywhere. It's just a tangent. I read The Door into Summer again last night. It's an old favorite. He was a very interesting man, but that's a whole nother subject. But he at least, like us, appreciated cats.
Well, there you go. And way to circle it back. I'm waiting here anxiously for you to ask me about my closet, though. This was called wardrobe. And golly, that's still one of my favorite topics, even though no one has seen me from the waist, except from the waist up for 2 years.
Oh, believe me, I am. Kai has an incredible statement on her website. That's Magnus Media. magnusmediavideo.com. And it says, show the world who you are. Do you do that with your closet? Because I believe you are a fashion addict.
You are correct. You said it's been a bit under wraps this last year, but I'm a theater person. I have two closets, one for all the tango costumes and the out of season clothes I'm not going to fold up because they need to stay on hangers. But yes, I have, and I used to teach dancing by decade. So I have in my closet organized, the Charleston costume, the 50s, the 60s, fabulous 80s vintage wear, country line dancing stuff, and then of course tango costumes. But in my actual closet, I also have a ridiculous amount of clothes and I love color. So I have things arranged by color so I can pick them out and put them together.
Can you PM me your address because I want to come over?
I should do a video tour of my closet someday, but that would require a bigger closet. Yes. I also have all my shoes in little boxes so I can see them because it's very easy to forget what one has and only wear the latest. So I'm looking forward to getting some things out. Like many people, I found great sales at the end of the season before last winter, and then we went nowhere. So I have things that have not been worn.
I'm creating a Facebook challenge called Wear Your Damn Clothes because we haven't been.
We haven't, no. I have thoroughly enjoyed not wearing high heels after dancing tango professionally for 20 years and having, to tread about on spiky heels. I've enjoyed the flats. Hence the evening tonight going with the pastel combat boots instead of like little strappy sandals with heels. But I really miss the creativity of putting together outfits. And it was that moment last night when I'm like, I'm doing my evening workout and I'm thinking, yes, but I could wear this with that. And then what if I did those shoes? Because I built all of my outfits from the footwear up. Like, am I going to be just walking in from the car and sitting down at a business meeting for 2 hours? Am I going to be, in this case, going to Costco after this open house and I have to be able to hike half a mile in the store? And so you start with the shoes and you build up.
That is exactly what I do from the feet up. Oh, that's spooky. And also the possible combinations, which is why sometimes, one can get changed several times in a day just for the fun of having one's own old fashioned. And yet,
I remember those days.
barefoot
Pardon?
with everything. The great thing about the pandemic is I spend a lot of time in bare feet at home, and they go with anything, just in case you were wondering, from ball gowns to caftans.
They do. I know there's a fashion consultant out there who suggests that one wears shoes. You dress from head to toe, presume to feel more professional. But this consultant happens to be a fellow who gets to wear flat shoes no matter what. So, ha! Slippers are just fine for me. Totally respect his taste in clothes. But when it comes to shoes, if I don't have to wear heels, I'm not going to.
Yeah, I'm careful about taking advice from any fashion consultant who doesn't know what an instep is. So, speaking of fashion, I've got still got many questions. I want to get back to your business, but do you have an? I have a Jane Austen outfit in my closet, and I believe you
Ooh.
can speak to Jane Austen, and I believe that's a Jeopardy category. You could actually win.
Jane Austen, yes, I'm a bit of a fan. Watched pretty much every version of every movie version of plus reading all the books. Have strong opinions about which Emma is the best. And when we are next able to travel, England is on the list, and we want to take a Jane Austen tour.
Which Emma do you like the best?
Oh, the new one with Anya Taylor-Joy. It has just that little bit of over the topness that to me makes the book a fabulous satire of society at the time, as opposed to just a little cringy.
Agreed, it was an absolutely beautiful adaptation. Which is your favorite Pride and Prejudice?
I was afraid you're going to ask me that. I love the BBC, the
Yes.
long form Colin Firth, but I also love Keira Knightley, and I know there are purists will say, but they added to the ending. But it's beautiful cinematography, excellent acting, and so the cast. You've got your Donald Sutherland and all the others, as well as Keira herself. So it's hard to choose, and it also depends how much time I have. One can get through the movie in under 3 hours. So that's easier.
And I'll give a shout out to a black and white version with Laurence Olivier and Greta Garbo. But
Oh.
the spoiler alert, they changed Lady Catherine, and I don't think she was improved by the way they did her. But moving on, would you like to be put on the spot with a Jane Austen question, or shall I segue?
Segue.
It was related to Emma. I'm going to segue to another kind of wearable art. Why do you have a tattoo of a devil on your shoulder?
It is not a devil, it is a fire lizard.
Oh, I see. See what?
Oh my goodness, is that what it looks like? No, it is from the cover of a Dragon Riders of Pern book called Dragon Singer. And when I was a teenager, that became my little signature critter. So I would sign, as teenagers do, make a little drawing next to my name. I have a stained glass window that I still have with me of said fire lizard, which is, for those who don't know, a miniature fire-breathing dragon that can flash in between, which means it can go into hyperspace and come back out. Like going through a Stargate, but it does it on its own. So, not science fiction, science fantasy.
I could nerd out for a long, long time. You been to Comic-Con?
No, I am
Not
not a
one.
big fan of crowds, but I have been to a Stargate convention, so that is something.
Please tell me that Jason Momoa turned up.
No, Jason Momoa was much too famous by then. This was a small Stargate convention. Good call, though. Good identity, identifying Jason Momoa with Stargate. I did get to ask Michael Shanks a question from the stage, and I have a picture with him, who is Dr. Daniel Jackson, David Hewlett. My husband and I are rewatching the series right now, so it's very top of mind. Yes.
It sounds like so much fun. I live in the Whedonverse, so but I will investigate Stargate if only to see Jason Momoa again flouncing around.
Yes, he flounces quite nicely.
Oh, beautifully with those hair flicks. Back to magnusmediavideo.com. Show the world who you are. If you do go to the website, there is the top five video tips, which is easily accessible, and there's also free on-camera tips, which is really useful for anybody right now because we're still in a very hybrid world. I was wondering, with your business, you do business videos. A ton of my friends are creating online courses. Is that something you've been able to help people with?
That is not something that we have been asked to do yet. We have done a lot of virtual productions, like virtual award shows. We're working on one right now. Last year, the client did it entirely remotely. We coached people on how to create, record their own videos, and then we did the audio engineering and edited it all together to a beautiful piece. This year, they still can't meet for their award show, so we recorded all the winners, both in Portland and here in Seattle, and now we're putting it together as a virtual award show. The long form videos for educational videos, if somebody wants something that's very highly edited, highly produced, that would be our sweet spot. So many educational things, though, people are kind of used to Zoom and a PowerPoint, and they're not willing to, you have to be able to, it has to be an income generating thing for the person producing it in order to afford, full professional video for like an hour long video. So we can do it, but we haven't done it yet.
Yes, of course. When somebody perhaps gets up to the Amy Porterfield level or slightly higher up, that's but because there is the when you're telling a story, the difference between an amateur and a professionally crafted video, it makes such a difference in your portfolio.
It does. And actually, funny the story, something we really, this is going to sound somewhat braggadocious, but I'm going to go for it. We came to appreciate the power of a professional camera and professional audio much more after, as quarantine has been relieving, because we're able to go out with our own cameras and our own audio equipment, and the difference in what a professional cap can capture, and especially professional audio, is so huge. And it's really kind of like, there's like this lovely exhale now that everything is sharp and clean and clear. Here, I guess this will be my tip for the DIYers, which is no matter what you're recording your video, your visuals on, make sure you have really good audio. For this, for this interview, I hooked up one of my professional microphones, so we're getting the best audio I can give you from my laptop, because I know you can lose a message with poor audio, no matter how beautiful it looks. Because yes, an iPhone can take some pretty nice video, but use an external microphone, I beg of you.
I really appreciate this. I definitely started this as a minimal viable product, and I know that it's frustrating if you're trying to listen to something where you've got such an engaging and incredible guest and they're static or you can't quite hear them. It's too frustrating, and I don't think our attention span is that long to put up with it anymore. We're too used to high quality production through the content we can consume through downloadable material.
Exactly. Yes.
So thank you. What's a living legacy that you help create?
Oh, the legacy videos?
Mm.
Yes. Okay. So we do two kinds. One is for a business, and the other is for the individual. So for individuals, we go and we record people's elders, the aunties, the uncles, the parents, the grandparents, and get the stories. And then we also get the photographs, we get video B-roll, and we can create a beautiful 30, 45 minute video scrapbook of someone's life and legacy. And because people are, you get to hear the voice, you get to see their face move, you get to see their expressions. So while an audio recording of someone is one thing, getting to have the entire video, and the reason we think this is a big service, even in the day of recorded on your phone, is that people just won't get around to it. So if they schedule with us, we make sure it happens for them. We show up, and then we do all the post-production. So there's a complete, gift for everyone in the family. On the business side, there are companies. One of my favorite videos is with a group that's they're acoustical engineers that got their start here in Seattle in the 60s. And we got to do a 2-minute like mini documentary on their history of working on the Space Needle when it was being built, working on the Space Needle when it was being renovated a few years ago, and everything in between. So that they can have this little time capsule of who they are and how they got to where they are.
Oh, that sounds incredible. The Space Needle, Seattle Space Needle, right? Is it, well, I haven't checked if it's open or not. They used to have a beautiful revolving restaurant up there.
They did, and they still do, but they've made one major change. And depending on someone's level of, oh, how adventurous they are, how much vertigo they get, it now has a clear floor. So not only does it rotate up at the top of the sky, but it also, you can see right through. So I am going to enjoy it in the memory. of when the floor was solid. And then there are other people who are going to think that is just the coolest thing in the world. I can't wait till I drop my peas and have to reach down and get them because I can stare at the floor and look down on Seattle. So it just depends on who you are.
I love heights. I love views, but I would find it a little disconcerting to have my peas superimposed on a drop that I could plummet to my death from. So I may have to live in my memory as well.
I would just say, if you do go, do let me know how it is.
But we'll do. Speaking of life events, a friend of mine who I met the other day was saying that her children who were at her wedding, who are about 3 and 6, they're now 5 years on, they watch the wedding video. The children watch the wedding video over and over multiple times a week. One of the advantages of getting a beautifully produced life event video is longevity, because it will delight people for years to come.
That is true. We still do some bar and bat mitzvah videos. We haven't done weddings. We gave that up many years ago. That's a different market. So one of the things we love are repeat clients, and you kind of hope you don't have a repeat client for a wedding video. My husband, who also DJs, has had one repeat wedding DJ client, but we kind of hope that doesn't happen for the most part.
True, but there are... So what life events do you record now that give you, you said bar mitzvahs, is there any, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that.
Bar and bat mitzvahs, or we've done some 60th wedding, or sorry, 60th birthday parties. We've done big wedding anniversaries. I know this was all back in the day when there were large parties, but true. Those are also really nice for family and friends to have.
They really are. And with business videos, can you give me some examples of some business videos that you might do?
Absolutely. So one of our favorites is still for GFS Events, the company that has actually grown to such a degree that we're going to their new office open house tonight. GFS Events does fundraising events for nonprofits, and that's all they do. And people hear event planner and they would immediately think, oh, will you plan my wedding? Will you plan my child's birthday party? So they decided to do a video showing who they are, what they do, what they don't do. And it really helped them narrow the focus of their clients. And the owner did say that she got one of her biggest clients to date because they saw the video and said, you just look so much more professional than your competition. So a client that a business that needs to explain who they are in order to reach their target market without having a lot of people call them that ask for what they don't do, that's one of the ways a video can be very helpful.
And that, I believe, is your speciality. You show the world, you help people show the world who they are, but also who they are not. And that is
big time saver.
I just redid my website homepage today to make it a little clearer as to what I do and don't do. Because clarity is the answer to everything. I believe you've also worked with Cinemark. And would you tell me a little bit more about that?
Oh, yes. That was a wild project. So Cinemark Reserve at Lincoln Square. It is a reserved seating over 21 luxury sort of theater. And I got a call from a guy in Pennsylvania about 4 days before this, maybe a whole week before this grand opening. He said, I saw your name on the event society you're a part of. Are you available a week from today to come shoot our grand opening? And by the way, we'd like the entire video edited and put on an SD card and shipped overnight to our corporate headquarters 3 days after the event. And we said, of course, what a world. We've done a lot of rush event video for stuff like that, but it was so much fun. They had character actors. They had all the Star Wars people. They had classic, Marilyn Monroe and Charlie Chaplin, as well as just a lot of VIPs in the community. And they did. We produced it. We still don't know exactly why we needed to do it an SD card, because of course that took like 3 days out of possible production while we shipped it overnight. But nonetheless, it was a fun project. We're so honored that they asked us, and we have become regulars at Cinemark Reserve. So really enjoying it. And that we never would have heard it if we hadn't done the video.
Oh, the costumes. That's one of the things I hear what you're saying about the crowds at Comic-Con, but somebody who adores clothes, the costumes that people walk around in, it's such a visual treat.
Well, that leads me to I have to ask you, so are you a Comic-Con attender and what costumes do you wear?
Oh, absolutely, Comic-Con. I've only been four times, and it tends to be, as I said, very Whedon-centric. And I don't tend to dress too much. I went once as a character called Drusilla, who was a vampire from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and which was a huge amount of fun. But and once I went as a vampire bride, I think you're seeing a theme here.
I do. There's a definite, the definite sort of fanged theme going on.
There really is. I am all about Buffy, but the most of the fun was basically taking photos of everybody else. It was. Speaking of About Us, if you jump onto Kai and Kai's page, there are some great videos. There's a video about Grant, a video about Kai. They're beautifully produced. Having a video about yourself on your website is such a great way for people to get to know you.
It is. And my marketing director slash website developer, shout out to Pia Larson Fingerprint Marketing, just insisted that us two introverts get some stuff on the website that featured us. We like to be behind the camera for the most part, although, as you noted, occasionally I do a guest star in a video. But there's a certain vulnerability in letting the world know, in letting the world see yourself behind the professional mask, but we wanted to do that. And she just said it was such, it's so important, right? With all this was 4 years ago, but even more so now because we don't meet people in person at all. So, note to the world listening, I've never met Aaron. We met at a virtual event and sort of had an immediate connection, but we still have never met in person. So, video is a way to connect you and help people get to know who you are without ever having to be in the same room with them, or should I say, ever getting to be in the same room with them, depending on how you feel about, you know, live events.
And I know that people will look at your testimonials and your list of clients and the work that you do, but I believe people buy energy. So showing that vulnerability in who you are, people basically want to work with people they like.
I would think so. And video is pretty personal. I mean, I also being from the world of dance production, where if you're in charge of costumes, you just walk up and adjust someone's jacket. It's very one-on-one. I'm wearing a mask when I do that these days, but I will, you know, be up like fluffing someone's hair or saying, you know, do you want to check your lipstick before you go on camera, which are not the sorts of things you say to people that you just meet at a networking meeting. So it's very personal.
Oh, I completely get it. I really have to remember, don't give advice unless I'm paid for it, because I'll automatically Zoom. I'll want to rearrange their background. I'll want to change what they're wearing. I'll want to work on their body language. I come from a bit of a background in acting and TV production, and I'm visually aware that I just can't help it, but I have to, because help is the sunny side of control. So I will keep my mouth shut unless you ask me. And as for not meeting me, considering that I want to meet your wardrobe, that might just happen.
It might.
This was so much fun. What's the best way for people to get hold of you?
Well, a really good way is to go to our website, which, as you mentioned, is Magnus Media Video. That's MAGNUS, mediavideo.com. There's a contact page. You can see what my husband and I look like. You can watch some of our videos. And if you have any interest in getting a video for yourself or someone you know, we do free consultations.
And you can see Kai's glorious red mane. Whatever color she has been throughout her life, right now it is this stunning, glorious red. Quick question. Where did Magnus come from? The name Magnus.
Oh, that's a trade secret.
Okay. Then you will have to book a call with Kai, and after paying her an inordinate amount of money, she tell you.
I'll just let you know it is a derivative from, I mean, Magnus means great in Latin. However, the idea for it came from a Star Trek episode.
What was I thinking? Of course it came from me. All worlds come back to Kirk.
They
Every
do.
the six it's not the six whatever steps to bacon, it's the six steps to Kirk.
6 degrees of separation from
Thank
Captain Kirk,
you.
yes.
Degrees to Kirk. This was so much fun. I do hope, as one introvert to another, I hope one day we will meet each other preferably in costumes and near a wardrobe. Thanks again. Aloha.
Aloha to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.